chapter 8, we have the record of a man who came to Jesus. In verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I like that positive response. Jesus is willing to produce results. He's willing to come and heal. I like that. And this is a centurion, a Roman soldier. He's not a Jew. He's not of the children of Israel. He doesn't have the covenant. And so he comes to Jesus saying, I've got this servant, and I want you to come. And most of the time, most of the people who Jesus healed, he healed with them personally in his presence. You will get greater results if you're with people in person. If you get them to come to you and hear the word. I find there's two places in the book of Luke where it says they came to hear him and to be healed. You'll get more results if people will hear the word of God other than just praying for them. We pray for people and we encourage prayer, and you see that everywhere, people asking for prayer. But in Luke, and there's two places in the book of Luke, it says they came to hear him and to be healed. They didn't just send a prayer request. They came to it. And they came not just to get healed, but to hear something. They came to hear him. Well, faith comes that way. And then most of the time, the people that Jesus healed, they were in his presence. Either they came to him or he went to them. Most of the time. And here's the one place where he didn't go to them. But it is still somebody coming to him for someone under their care. And we need to realize that. When you have the authority over someone, the care and the responsibility, then you can go to God for them. Parents can cover their children. Pastors can carry baby children in the church. Spiritual children. God never intended that pastors carry the congregation all their lives. God never intended that. He wants us to grow. But pastors can carry spiritual children, just like parents can carry natural children. And you can go to God for some other people sometimes. And your faith will bring results for them. Otherwise, we're interceding. There's a difference between faith and intercession. I have a CD on the table back there, Understanding Faith and Intercession. We today are praying for a lot of people. And sometimes people are trying to use their faith when your faith doesn't work there. Intercession will work. Have you noticed in the Bible, when you look at the Bible, everywhere the prayer of intercession is mentioned, believing is never mentioned? When the prayer of faith is mentioned, you can see the word believing, or you can see something positive. It'll be done. In Matthew 21, verse 22, all things whatsoever you shall ask for in prayer, believing, it shall be done. And then the prayer of agreement is the prayer of faith in tandem. If two on earth agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done. And so the prayer of faith has positive results. You can expect it to be done. But the prayer of intercession, you never see anywhere in the New Testament where when it mentions the prayer of intercession, it says it will be done. It does say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It'll make it available, but it never says it'll be done. And it never says believing. You really can't believe for somebody else unless you can carry them. Like I said, a pastor can carry spiritual children. A parent can carry children. And this centurion was coming for his servant. You can carry some people, but usually, when you're interceding for people, you can't do their believing. Their unbelief may negate your faith. And you may not even know they're in unbelief. And really, the prayer of agreement, God never intended, Jesus never intended that we misunderstand this. And yet, by the thousands, we have. Christians have misunderstood the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement is not me and you agree for somebody else. Me and Wayne cannot agree for Diane. we can agree when it's something in your life or something in my life, the two of us can agree. When it's something in your life or something in my life, then we can agree. We cannot agree for someone else unless one of us can carry them. And let me give you something else. In the ministry of Jesus, there's only three times where he prayed for the healing of someone not in his presence. Where he ministered healing for someone not in his presence. There's only three of them. Today, we are busy praying for people that are not in our presence. We just hear about them and we pray. And a lot of times, we really don't have a scriptural foundation for it. I want to ask sometimes, what scripture are you basing that? You can intercede. You can intercede for everybody. You can intercede for anybody. You can supplicate. And we're told to pray. And the giving of thanks and prayers and supplications and intercessions. But see, that's not believing. And that nowhere in the Bible does it say it'll be done. It makes it available. Thank God it makes it available. But they'll have to yield to it. They'll have to believe something. They'll have to receive something. And we can pray and should pray. And sometimes God will just intervene sometimes. But you can't count on it. You can't believe it. You can't say it's done while you're interceding. Unless you can carry them. The three places is one of these. The centurion's servant. Well, the centurion had authority over that servant. He had the responsibility over that servant. So he could come to Jesus for that servant. He could believe for the servant. He's responsible for that servant. And then you've got the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. We'll look at that in a moment. That's her daughter. She can come to Jesus for her daughter. She can believe for her daughter because she has the responsibility, the oversight, the authority, and the care. And then you've got the nobleman's son. Well, that's his son. He has the authority. He has the oversight. He has the care. He has the responsibility. So he can come to Jesus for his son. But you don't have anybody, you don't have any record of anybody coming to Jesus for the healing of a neighbor. It's not in there. You do have four friends bringing somebody to Jesus, and he got healed. The number one way that Jesus ministered healing to people was in person. He went to them or they came to him. And you will get greater results if you can go to people or get them to come to you. Take the word to them, get them to come to you to hear the word. And then Susan talked about this lady that she's been ministering to. It's not just the Bible. Why do you say that, Brother Tony? Because a lot of people read the Bible with their religious traditions. It's like if you put on glasses that were coated pink, had pink lenses, pink tint. You put those glasses on, everything would have a pink tint to it. Everything would look sort of pink, pinkish, have that pink hue. Because the glasses are coated, the lenses are coated with pink. If you put on blue glasses, coated with blue tint, then everything you'd see would just sort of have that blue hue, that blue tint to it. There are people who are reading the Bible with glasses coated with religious traditions. And every time they read those scriptures, they read them in the light of how they've always heard it, always believed it, always understood it. You've got to hear some preaching that will explain and teach and shake some of that unbelief out of you. And so I would encourage her, don't just take the healing scriptures, take some teaching. We got to get her some new teaching so she can hear some new things. They have the same Bible, but they read it with religious traditions. And we all can fall into that. That's why I like to hear good teaching and good preaching and hear some explanation and hear the interpretation and the understanding line upon line, precept upon precept. And when I need healing, I read the healing scriptures, but I also feed my faith on the preaching and the teaching of those that do feed me. One time, and I said this last night when I was in a battle, not only did I read healing scriptures, I read 4 books by Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans. I read 2 books by Smith Wigglesworth. I read most of, or quite a bit of, the great gospel healing classic F.F. Bosworth wrote, Christ the Healer. It's a big book. But I read a lot of that. And then there are people who read my book, 35 Years of Divine Health, because it has testimonies of what I've done to receive healing. And I just believe if you do the same thing, you'll receive healing. What I've done to stand and receive, you can do it too. And so people, she's read that book. Some people have told me they've read it 4 times and they get something new out of it every time. Well, that happens because when you read it, you don't get it the first time you hear it. You don't get it the first time you read it. You don't get it. And then CDs, good teaching. Well, we need that to feed our faith, to feed our faith. Can somebody say amen? But the best way you're going to get somebody healed is to take the word to them or get them to come hear the word. But here's one of those occasions where the centurion came for someone he had the care of. He had authority. He had the responsibility. So he could come to Jesus. But here's what I want you to see. He's a centurion. He's not in the family of God. He is, some might even ask, why is he here? What's he doing here? He doesn't belong here. He's a Roman soldier. What's he doing here? He's not in the family. He's not one of us. And he could have been considered to be an outcast or you don't belong. Ever go anywhere where you felt like you didn't belong? Well, here's somebody, he may feel like he doesn't belong. I don't belong here. But he didn't let that stop him. I don't know that he had any encouragement. You need to get to Jesus. I don't know that anyone was encouraging him. But he had heard something, and he knew to get to him whether he had encouragement or not. So he came to Jesus. I like to phrase it this way. He was alone in his faith. He's operating in faith, but nobody else is encouraging him. Did you know you can receive from God being alone in your faith? Thank God for when people do encourage you. Thank God for those people who can agree with you and encourage you and talk the same talk you're talking and believe the same thing you're believing. But you can receive from God when you're alone in your faith. Nobody encouraging you. Nobody agreeing with you. Nobody saying the same thing you're saying or believing the same thing you're believing. Everybody else might be talking contrary to what you want to hear. You can be alone in your faith and still receive from God. And so this centurion came to Jesus, and Jesus was willing to go. He said, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, I am not worthy. Verse 8, I am not worthy. Verse 8, I am not worthy. I don't even belong here. But I know authority when I see it. I know authority when I realize it. When I experience it, when I'm aware of your authority, I've learned something about your words. You say things and they happen. And I know something about authority. I'm a Roman soldier. I know what words can do, the command, the authority, the power of words. I've got servants under me, and all I need to do is speak a word, and they'll obey. And I'm under authority. He's come up the ranks. He knew what it was like to have a command given to him, and he had to obey it. And now he gives commands, and he sees they obey it. Simply because he says it, things get done. And he said to Jesus, "All you do not have to come to my house. I'm not even worthy that you do that. I'm not worthy that you even come under my roof. But if you speak the word, my servant will be healed. I just want to hear you say it. I just want to hear you say it. That's all I need, because I know when words are spoken, things happen. And if I could just hear you say it." And Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Jesus said what he wanted to hear. And he went away knowing that his servant was healed because Jesus said it. And Jesus marveled at that. today, we've got people that they're not going to believe it until they feel it. They're not going to believe it until there's some boisterous action made. They're not going to believe it until there's some pronouncement made or some proclamation or until he calls me out. I've been in services. I'm thinking about Pennsylvania right now, where the lady, I saw her. I knew she was there. And I didn't respond. And the pastor talked to me afterwards. She got mad at you because you didn't call her out. Well, I knew it. And I didn't call her out. Because, see, that's the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit. And the woman that had the issue of blood didn't wait to be called out. She came in the press and touched his garment. She didn't wait for some man. I see. You better do. Oh, she just came and got what she wanted. I'm waiting for that woman to do that. She's waiting to be called out. This man, Jesus said, had great faith because he would put the confidence in the Word. I'm just going to put the confidence in the Word. I'll just go ahead and put the confidence in the Word. I'll put the confidence in the Word. And the man is the one who came to Jesus. He didn't sit at home and wait for God's will to be done. He didn't sit at home and wait for God's will to be done. Well, if God wants my servant healed, he'll do it. God's will be done. No, he came to Jesus and said, I'm wanting you to say something, and I don't even need you to come. Just say it, and it'll be done. I don't need you to come. Just say it, and it'll be done. And he was alone in his faith. But Jesus said it was great faith. You remember that woman that had the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She said, if I just get to him and touch the hem of his garment. She was alone in her faith. No one was encouraging her. In fact, religious tradition, even the law of Moses, taught her to not do what she did. Because she has this issue of blood, and she's supposed to stay on the outside of the crowd and cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. And Jairus is there. He's the ruler of the synagogue. He has the authority to stone her. She recognizes that. So she's alone in her faith. She has to make a decision that others are not making for her. She makes a decision when others might discourage that and certainly not encourage that. You better watch out. You better watch out. You're not supposed to do that. You can get into trouble. You never know what God will do. Maybe he wants you sick. Maybe this is his will for you. He made you this way. You ought to just bear up under it admirably and be courageous and just be sick for the glory of God. But she had a decision to make, and she had said, if I get to him and just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And the Bible says she came in the press. It was difficult. It was difficult. There was adversity. There was discouragement that was coming against her. You better not do it. You're going to be in trouble, and it's hard to get there. There's all kinds of people around him. And Jairus was there to get Jesus to come to his house, and he knows that it's urgent. His daughter is at the point of death. She's at the very point of death, and now somebody is delaying this. He might be getting offended. You're delaying this. I want him to come with me, and now you're coming, and you're getting his time and attention, and he's stopping to minister to you. And I don't want him to stop. I don't want him to wait. I don't want him to delay. I'm in a hurry to get him to come to my house. Oh, he could have been getting mad. And the daughter did die while Jesus is taking his time to minister to this other lady. But God overcame that. Sometimes there might be some difficulties in your faith. God knows how to overcome that. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Just keep believing. Keep believing. Don't be afraid when the circumstances seem to be contrary, but keep believing what you were believing. Don't change what you were saying. Don't change what you were believing, even when it seems to get worse. Jairus said she'll be healed. Now, Jesus is delayed. And he gets daughter is dead. Jesus said, don't be afraid of that. The woman that had the issue of blood was alone in her faith. She was alone in faith. If you go there in Mark chapter 5 and look at that, you don't find anyone else encouraging her. You don't find anyone else agreeing with her. You don't find anyone else telling her to get to Jesus. She was alone in her faith. Can somebody say amen? I want you to look with me at Mark chapter 10. You can receive from God when everyone else around you is telling you it won't work. When nobody isn't. Thank God when you have people encouraging you. Thank God when you have people that are agreeing with you. But when you don't have anyone agreeing, when you don't have anyone encouraging, you can get to the Word of God and you can look at Jesus and you can be alone in your faith and receive from God. Hallelujah. And sometimes that's the best place to be in. I had you turn to Mark chapter 10, but before we look at that, do you remember what happened to Hezekiah? The prophet came and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. Well, that's the prophet of God. That's the prophet of God that told me I was going to die. Well, he's the prophet of God. I guess he knows I'm hearing from God that I'm going to die. And people might say, well, you better not change that. You better not undo that. You better not pray against that. You better not speak against that. That's God talking to you. And you know it's the will of God. It's going to happen. But there are some things that are going to happen unless you change them. Unless you change them. Unless you change them. And Hezekiah heard the prophet of God. He knew it was God speaking to him. But he also knew he could entreat of the Lord. And he could go into the presence of God and have supplication. And he could pray. And he could change some things. And he turned his face to the wall. God! 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 And he changed some things with his entreaty. He changed some things with his supplication. He changed some things with his prayer. And before the prophet even got out of the courtyard, God spoke to the prophet, said, turn around and go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. I've seen his tears. He was alone in his faith. No one encouraged him. You better turn your face to the wall. He did that on his own. No one was agreeing with him. You can change that. It's not just that way simply because the prophet spoke it. You can change some things. That's the will of God if it's not changed. But God will move and he will respond to the change in your heart. You can change and God will respond. God doesn't change, but he'll go to a higher level. Faith is higher than judgment. Repentance will override judgment. Did you hear what I said? The wages of sin is death. That is the will of God. That is the word of God. That is the plan of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is righteousness to them who believe on the name of Jesus. And I can override that and overcome that by going to a higher level. I come into the realm of the blood of Jesus and I overcome the death of the law. It is the will of God, but that is the will of God also if I come up to a higher level. Faith, faith in his word, repentance, mercy, grace. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and God said, I see that. And I've got another will that now can kick in. This was my will if he didn't change, but he did. Yes, it's my will that he die, but he changed. And I've got another will that now kicks in. Because he changed. Because he changed. Then I've got another will. I've got another will. I've got some more word. I've got some love and some grace and some mercy. I see faith. And here's the will of God that's in response to that. Go tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayers. I've seen his tears. He was alone. It was a good place for him to be in. I said that was a good place. Nobody's agreeing with you. Nobody's encouraging you. You're alone. You can't go down to the coffee shop and have fellowship with all your friends and get encouragement. You're alone. They're not agreeing with you. They're not believing with you. They're not encouraging you. You're alone with God. When you're with God, you're really not alone. You're alone in your faith. Hezekiah was alone in his faith. The centurion was alone in his faith. The woman with the issue of blood was alone in her faith. They all received from God. They were alone when they came to Jesus. They were alone when they cried out to God. No one was encouraging or agreeing or praying for them. We don't have record of it, but they received. In Mark chapter 10, there is a man that was begging. In verse 46, they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. How many is that? Great, more than a few. More than a little. A great number of people. So there's a great number of people with Jesus in this company. And so Bartimaeus is there begging. He's sitting by the highway side begging. And he recognizes by the commotion, a lot of people are here, and usually that means a person of importance is in our midst. When we have so many people here, it very often is because of a central figure. Somebody important is here. Are you following me? So I suppose he asked, because he's blind, he can't see. So I suppose he asked, who is it? Who's here in my midst? And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. A lot of people are here, and I know by experience, when there's a lot of people passing by, there's somebody important. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Somebody must have told him because he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. Well, when he heard that, things have changed. I'm in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth. Things are different now. And he knew something about him. He had heard something. The reputation had gotten around. Something about this man called Jesus of Nazareth. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth in his midst, he began to cry out. Now he's blind. He doesn't know which direction. He may have been turning this way. He may have been turning that way. He may have been looking forward. He may have been going this direction, that direction. Which way? Jesus. Somewhere in this company, there's Jesus. There's a great number of people. Somewhere in this company of people, Jesus of Nazareth is here. And he began to cry out, Jesus! Thou Son of David, have mercy on me! But what happened? The Bible says they charged him. That's a command. That's an order. They charged him that he should hold his peace. I want you to focus on this. He was alone. No one was encouraging him to do what he was doing. In fact, they were discouraging him. No one was agreeing with him. You're blind and you can receive your sight if you'll just call out to Jesus. No one encouraged him. Jesus is here. You don't have to be blind anymore if you'll call out to him. No one encouraged him. In fact, they were discouraging him. He was alone. It's wonderful when we have encouragement. It's wonderful when we have agreement. It's wonderful when we can go to our own company. And we can be surrounded by people of like precious faith. But when you're alone in your faith, God will still respond. And I want to encourage people, you don't have to wait for the encouragement. Even the encouragement that I'm giving you, you don't have to wait for that. And I want to encourage people, you don't have to wait for that. You don't have to sit at home in the mully grubs mad because the pastor's not calling you. Because the saints aren't visiting you. Because the visitation committee hasn't called you. You don't have to sit at home mad.
cares. Jesus cares. We care. We don't always show everything we should, but God does. It's available for you, and you can be alone in your faith and receive the answer and what you need and go to His Word, and He will supply. Praise God forever. Even when they're discouraging you, they charged Him that He should hold His peace. And listen to this, church. These are the followers of Jesus. These are the very people that were walking with Jesus. Followers of Jesus. The very followers of Jesus told Bartimaeus to be quiet. Church folk sometimes are wrong. Church folk sometimes are wrong. These are the followers of Jesus telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. And they were wrong. They were wrong. They charged him that he should hold his peace. But he didn't listen to that. He cried out the more a great deal. They had ordered him to be quiet. Followers of Jesus. They had ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out the more a great deal. Now listen to this, great deal. Isn't that what your Bible says? Great deal. Everybody say great deal. That's opposite little bit. So he didn't just cry out a little bit. Some church people cry out a little bit, and maybe that's what they get, is a little bit. But if you cry out a great deal, God will respond. I mean, your faith can cry out when you're alone in your faith. And just continue to believe God. Continue to be in the presence of God. Continue to tell God, I'm standing my ground. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to endure. Your Bible says to not be weary in well-doing, but in due season I'll reap. And I want you to know, though the body, sometimes the mind, maybe sometimes my spirit, but I want you to know I'm rising up from within. And I'm not going to be weary. I'm going to persevere. And you said I would reap in due season. And I want you to know, God, I'm believing that. And I'm receiving that. And I'm praising you for it. It may not look like it's coming, but you said it is. It may not look like it's working, but you said it is. It may look like it's getting worse, but you said that the answer is here. And I'm believing that. And everybody else is saying, y'all just be quiet. But I'm going to cry out the more a great deal. Jesus responded to that. He was alone in his faith. Jesus responded to that. In fact, Jesus stood still. It's an amazing thing, an awesome thing, a humbling thing when heaven will stand still because of your cry of faith. What an awesome concept that my cry of faith causes heaven to stand still. When heaven pays attention to my words, how humbling is that? How awesome is that? And yet Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is this way right now, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus was this way here with Bartimaeus, Jesus is this way here with you today. He's the same as he was that day in this day. And if he stood still because of what Bartimaeus said, he'll stand still because of what you say. Heaven will take note of your faith. Heaven will respond and give attention. And you think about heaven. God's running the universe. God is running the universe. He hears all of the cries of his children throughout the world. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, God will pass over 1 million people to get to where you are when you speak out in faith. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. The whole earth. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, to and fro, to and fro over the whole earth. What's he looking for? He's looking for someone whose heart is crying out. So he wants to show himself strong. So he can show himself strong. He's looking for the one whose heart is crying out. The word is perfect in the King James, but that means the desire. Nobody's perfect in the natural, but the desire. Well, in our day, it's impossible to please him except by faith. Isn't that right? Abraham pleased God. He's called the father of faith. Glory to God. And the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. He's looking for you when you cry out in faith. Smith Wigglesworth said he'll pass over 1 million people to get to the one crying out in faith. Jesus is the same as he was with Bartimaeus. And it's an awesome thought to me. Humbling. I can cry out, and Jesus stands still. Give him what he needs. He asked Bartimaeus, "What is it that you want?" "I want my sight." You can have it. What are you calling out to me for? I'm calling out to you. You stood still. He was alone in his faith. Nobody encouraged him. In fact, they were discouraging him. They were discouraging him. But he didn't respond to the discouragement. He cried out the more, "A great deal, a great deal, a great deal, a great deal." He's still blind. He's still begging. But he's crying out. Jesus stood still. They said, "Calm down, old man. He's calling for you." He threw away that coat. They gave him the license to beg, that multicolored coat that they had in that day, like the red-tipped cane in our society. That's what that coat was. Well, he threw that away. "I'm not going to need that anymore." He found his way to Jesus. Jesus said, "What is it that you want?" "I want to receive my sight." Jesus said, "You can have it. If you can believe it, you can have it. If you, well, Lord, I do believe it. I've been sitting here in the midst of discouragement crying out to you when they're all telling me to shut up. I do believe it. If I didn't believe it, I would have shut up when they told me to. I did not respond to the discouragement because I do believe it." Somebody say amen. Lastly, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Are you getting anything out of this today? You may feel alone in your faith on occasion, but you continue to cry out your faith, what you believe. You're not begging God. You're proclaiming his word and that you believe it and praising him for it. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the contrary winds, in the midst of the circumstances, you are proclaiming what you believe and you're crying out all the more, "A great deal. This is what you said. This is what I believe. This is what I've received. This is what your word has spoken to me. And I just praise you for it." And he'll stand still. In Mark chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman in verse 26, she came to Jesus and besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said, "Let the children first be filled." See, she's a Greek. She's alone. Nobody's encouraging her. In fact, this word that Jesus spoke might have discouraged some people. He is testing her faith. God will allow your faith to be tested. Can I have an amen, somebody? He'll allow it. He'll let you go through certain circumstances and experiences. Because the trial of your faith is more precious than even our natural gold that's tried with fire. 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "For you not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." But 1 Peter 4:13 says to rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 1 says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. God will allow your faith to
said, well, the children of God, of the Abrahamic covenant, the children of Israel, they're the ones that should be filled first. Healing is the children's bread. In Matthew's gospel, the same story is in Matthew's gospel as well. Matthew says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The healing is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Healing is the children's bread. You're not a child of God. You're not in the covenant. You're not an Israelite. You're outside of the covenant. In fact, in that culture, in that society, they were called dogs. Outcasts. And he said, let the children first be filled, for it's not right. Meat means proper, fitting, suitable, to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She could have gotten offended. She could have walked away without the answer. She could have left without the healing. And she could have gone home to her family and friends and said, I went to Jesus. I asked him for the healing of my daughter, for the deliverance of my daughter, and he told me no. That's the way she could have interpreted it. He said it wasn't right to heal me because healing is the children's bread and I'm not a child, I'm a dog. And she could have gone home offended. No one encouraged her. It seems like Jesus is discouraging her. It seems that way. She's alone in her faith. I said she's alone in her faith. Now, isn't it true? She is outside of the covenant. A Syrophoenician. A Greek. She's not under the Abrahamic covenant. She's not of the children of Israel. Isn't that true? And healing is for the children. He is sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's the law of Moses. But there's another law. The law of faith is higher. Jesus is actually trying to get her to approach him differently. You cannot approach me as a child of God, because you're not. You cannot approach me under the covenant of Abraham because you're not under that covenant. You cannot approach me as a daughter of Israel because you're not a daughter of Israel. I cannot give you healing based on that approach. So don't approach me that way. However, we can approach him that way. We are children of God. We have been bought with the price. The precious blood of Christ has washed away our sin. And we are born again. And we do have a covenant. And by whose stripes we were healed. We can approach him that way. But she could not. So Jesus is actually wanting her to approach him differently. I cannot heal you based on the covenant, but I can if you'll come in faith. Are you hearing me? Faith is the priority over that. So though it looks like he's discouraging her, he's actually encouraging her to approach him differently. And it worked. Some people would go away offended. Some people miss the point. People today miss the point. They go away mad and they miss the point. They'll misquote the preacher because they miss the point. They'll go away and say, well, that preacher said, that church believes, this is what I heard. And they may even quote it accurately, but they miss the point. Like the brother said earlier, the letter killeth. It's the spirit that gives life. Isn't that what you said? The letter of the law killeth. You can miss the point and do without the blessing. People get mad. I get around sometimes people and they say, well, he knows the Bible. And then you meet him. You know, they want you to meet somebody. He really knows the Bible. He can quote the Bible. And you get around and he's mad. He's got a bad disposition, just angry at the world, mad at church, mad at preachers, mad at Christians. But he quotes the Bible. He's missed the point somewhere. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not meat and drink. I said it's not meat and drink. It's not a list of rules and regulations and ordinances and commandments. We ought to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And there are things that are God's will, but he wants us to walk in love. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to walk by faith. And when we do, we'll have righteousness, we'll have peace, and we'll have joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen.
Jesus is trying to get her to do. Don't miss the point. Don't misunderstand. Don't get mad. Don't be offended. I want your daughter to be healed and delivered. But you've got to approach me differently. And she did. She said, "It's true what you said, Lord. I'm agreeing with what you said. It's true what you said. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I'm not in the family. I'm not one of the children. I can't sit at the table." That's true. But I may be a dog, but let me tell you something about dogs. They can get into the house. And they can crawl around at the feet. They can be under the table. And when the crumbs fall from the table, they can lap them up. And they can lick them up. And they can enjoy those crumbs. And I'm not here for a loaf of bread. I'm not here for a slice of bread. I'm here for a crumb of that bread. If I just get a crumb of that bread, I'm going to have what I came for. And I came for something, and I'm not leaving without it. She was alone. Oh, go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. She was alone in her faith. She's not even in the covenant. Nobody's encouraging her. But Jesus said, verse 29, "Because you said this." I didn't say it. You did. Nobody else said it. You did. No one taught you how to say it. No one told you what to say. In church, we have a lot of that. Everybody say this. We're trying to get something into people. But it doesn't work until you say it. It doesn't work until it's from your heart. Otherwise, you're just a parrot repeating. You're an echo. You've got to be a voice. You've got to be a voice. You've got to be a voice. It's got to come from your heart, not your head. Faith doesn't work from the head. Faith is of the heart. For with the heart man believeth. It doesn't work until you say it from your heart. And she said it. Jesus didn't say it. He didn't tell her to say it. I wish somebody would hear me. He didn't tell her to say it. He didn't tell her what to say to be healed. He didn't tell her what to say for the daughter to be delivered. He didn't tell her what to say. But she said it. And Jesus said, "Because you've said this, go your way, the devil gone out of your daughter. You have what you came for because of what you said. You have what you came for because of what you said. Nobody taught you to say it, but you said it." I love that. I have it underlined in my Bible, "For this saying." For this. What if she hadn't said that? Then she wouldn't have gotten that. Oh, Brother Tony, if it was God's will. There's a lot of things that are God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, but some do perish. I just believe if it's God's will, it'll happen. Well, why doesn't he make you pay your tithes? Or everybody else? If somebody says, "Well, I do." Well, the person next to you then. Or the one behind you, or the one in front of you. If it's God's will, people say, if it's God's will, it'll happen. James said that if you're a double-minded man, you're like a wave of the sea driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything. 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 God doesn't want you to be double-minded. He wants you to receive. Double-minded. One moment you're believing God. The next moment you're looking at the circumstances and talking about that. Then you come to church, get excited and encouraged, and you start talking faith. Then you get back home, and the circumstances seem overwhelming, and you start talking about that. And one time you're talking this. The other time you're talking that. Then you're talking this. Then you're talking that. Then you're believing this. Then you're saying, I don't know how it'll happen. Oh, God can do anything. Oh, it doesn't look like it's working. I just believe God's in control. Oh, it doesn't look like it's happening for me. And you're just this and that, like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything. You can change it. You can change it. You can change it. You can change it. You can talk this way and then shut up when you are tempted to talk the other way. You can talk this way and then when the circumstances seem overwhelming, just stop it. Don't let it come out of your mouth for this saying. Well, she said the right thing. What if she had said the wrong thing? Then you don't receive for this saying. You do receive for this saying, or you don't receive for this saying. Somebody say amen. She was alone in her faith. You can be alone in your faith. Nobody encouraging you. Everybody discouraging you. Woe is me. Nobody agrees. I don't have anybody telling me it's working. Get alone with God. Persevere, endure, continue to believe. Turn your face to the wall. Cry all the more a great deal. You may feel like a dog. Sometimes we feel unworthy. Like I said a moment ago, it's an awesome thought that our words, our believing, our faith can cause heaven to come to attention and Jesus stand still. Because if we listen to the discouragement of the devil and the flesh, we don't feel worthy, not a one of us. And were it not for his blood, we're not worthy. I said, were it not for his blood, we're not worthy. But he made us worthy by his blood. He made us worthy by his blood. But if you go by your feelings, you don't even feel worthy. You feel alone. But you can cry out to God. You may feel like a dog. But you know, thank God you're not a dog, you're a child. You can have a slice. You can have the loaf. You can come to the table and take your seat and say, pass the bread, please. Say it out loud, pass the bread, please. Stand on your feet and say, pass the bread, please. Stand on your feet and raise your hands and just praise the Lord for his word and the covenant of God. And you may feel alone in your faith, no one encouraging you, but the word of God and the spirit of God and the life of God will encourage you. And you can encourage yourself in the name of Jesus. Oh, it can be in the midnight hour. You know, I didn't talk about that, but Paul and Silas were in prison, weren't they? In the midnight hour. And the Bible says that they prayed and sang praises. They were alone, just the two of them, alone in prison, their backs bleeding. And at midnight, they prayed and sang praises, and God responded with an earthquake. God delivered them with an earthquake. They were alone in their faith, but God responded. God responded. I think about Paul on board that ship. In Acts chapter 27, all hope that any should be saved was lost. They're throwing things overboard, trying to lighten the ship, hoping that they can save the ship. But all hope was gone. Paul's pulled away. He decided to fast and pray. An angel showed up. He's alone in his faith. Others are believing they're going to die. Others would tell him we're going to die. All hope that any should be saved. Lost. It's all lost. There's no hope anymore. The Bible says all hope was gone. It's one thing for faith to be gone. It's another thing when all hope is gone. All hope is gone. There's no hope. We don't have any hope. We're all going to be lost. Paul's alone in shows up. An angel. Heaven shows up. He's still in the storm. He's still in the storm. An angel showed up and he's still in the storm. You better not look at the circumstances. You better not consider the circumstances. You better not judge the will of God by the circumstances. He's still in the storm, but the angel has showed up. What is the first thing the angel said? Fear not. That's the first thing we need to hear a lot of the time. Fear not. Came from the presence of heaven, and he said to those men, he said, be of good cheer. An angel stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. He wanted them to believe God. He said, be of good cheer. Nobody's going to be lost. We'll lose the ship, but God cares more about people. He said, I may be alone in my faith, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe God. Nobody else but believing and encouraging and agreeing with me, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe God. What do you believe, Paul? It shall be, even as was told unto me. He was alone in his faith, but God responded to his faith. Raise your hand and just thank God that you may be alone, but God responds. And you're not alone. We're with you. We're encouraging you. But if you were alone, God responds. Praise him, somebody. Bless him, somebody. Oh, my. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it out loud, I believe God. Say it again, I believe God. Say it again, I believe God. It shall be even as was told unto me. Say it again, I believe God. Raise your hand toward heaven, say, I believe God. It shall be even as was told unto me. Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you come this morning to receive healing, to be prayed for healing, to receive healing? If you did, come forward at this time. Praise God. Amen. Well, say it again. I believe God that it shall be even as was told unto me. You know, Bartimaeus cried out the more a great deal. That's something you can cry out. All the more, a great deal. I believe God. Say it one more time. I believe God. Say it a little louder. I believe God. Say it again a little louder. I believe God. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. You know, I've said that to the devil any number of times. I tell it to the Lord. I say, Lord, I believe you. But I've said it to the devil even any number of times. Where doubt, you know, comes to your head. You know he's trying to discourage you. You could almost point him out. He's in the room. Here he is talking to me, trying to discourage me. And I say, devil, I believe God. It shall be. Yeah, but how's it look? Well, the storm's still raging. When Paul said that, he's still in the storm. But he said, I believe God. Say it one more time. I believe God. It shall be. Even as was told unto me. In the name of Jesus.